I hope by now that most of us know what the text for these lessons on Sunday morning is, where it comes from. We could have a show of hands if everybody remembers, but I'm sure you do, so that's not necessary. And we know, of course, it's that great chapter on faith, Hebrews chapter 11. We've talked about the faith of many different ones so far. We've talked about Abel and Enoch. We've talked about Abraham. We've talked about Sarah. We've talked about many of the patriarchs. This morning, we're going to talk about what we might consider the ultimate act of faith. And that ultimate act of faith, of course, occurred in the life of Abraham. And that ultimate act of faith was the sacrifice of his son Isaac. In Hebrews chapter 11, we have three verses that talk about that ultimate act. And it was a sacrificial type of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 17, and let's read down to verse 19. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 17. It says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called,' concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which also he received him in a figurative sense." Abraham's faith was one that was willing to sacrifice what he valued the most. Now think about that. That's what he valued the most. Because it was through Isaac that all of these promises were to come through. And here we have God telling Abraham to offer up his son. The background to that is found in Genesis chapter 2, and I think it's very wise that we go back and read a few of these verses. Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Genesis chapter 22, beginning in verse 1. Genesis chapter 22, beginning in verse 1. The word says, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham?' And he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.' So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him." That's how it begins. And what an incredible beginning really it was, because he says, "Take now your son, your only son Isaac." Now remember, this was well past the time of Ishmael. He'd already had Ishmael some time before. But of course, Ishmael was no longer in the picture, was he? He had been basically kicked out. And he was gone. He wasn't in the picture anymore. It was Isaac and Isaac only. Hebrews says that Isaac was his only begotten son, which means son of a unique kind. Not his only son, period, but his only son of a unique type or kind. He was one of a kind. And there God says, "I want you to make a human sacrifice, Abraham. I want you to make a human sacrifice." We might consider that a kind of an unbelievable command, but that's exactly what he told him to do. And he says, "I want you to go," it's going to be a 3 days journey, "I want you to go to this land and offer him there on one of the mountains that I'm going to tell you about." So Abraham, in verse 2.5, argues with God for about 3 hours. Now, that's not in your Bible, is it? God tells Abraham to make this unbelievable, unimaginable thing. So what does Abraham do? Rises early in the morning, saddles his donkey, takes two of his men with Isaac, splits the wood, and goes to where God told him to go. No questions, no doubting, no arguing, no disputing, no complaining. He just does it. Skip down to verse 9. Then they came to the place of which God had told them, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. Gets it arranged, just like God says. And placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son. Ties him up on the altar. And laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you've not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." That's where we get the idea of providence from. "As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." That's just almost an unbelievable account in the Old Testament, isn't it? Can you imagine being asked to take what you consider is most valuable and kill it? That's exactly what God told Abraham to do. Kind of unbelievable. But what was God doing? Well, both of those accounts use the word what? Testing him. He was testing him. If Abraham was going to be the father of many nations, if through him was going to come the Messiah, the seed, he needed to be tested. And he needed to be tested in the ultimate way. And this was the ultimate way. This was the ultimate way. To sacrifice his son. Abraham was given the ultimate promises, the greatest promises, so therefore it was required of him to give the ultimate or greatest sacrifice, which of course was his son. Remember those promises that had already been given to Abraham more than once. They're given again in Genesis chapter 22. Verse 17, he says, "Blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Those were the promises. Remember, Paul writes to the church in Galatia, Galatians 3, verse 16. He writes this about Abraham and that seed. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Paul says this, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, 'And to seeds as of many,' but as of one, 'And to your seed, who is Christ.'" I think about those promises that were given to Abraham. Abraham never saw, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, Abraham never saw those promises fulfilled. But he believed them by faith. He never saw them fulfilled. Those promises included the promised land, land of Canaan. He never saw that. Those promises were that through him there would be a mighty great nation. Never saw that. That through him would come the seed, the Messiah, the anointed one. He never saw that. So he knew that it had to be through his descendants that all of those would happen. His descendants were now one, Isaac. He was the only one. And now God said, "Okay, Abraham, I want you to take Isaac, your only son, your only begotten son, your son of a unique kind, your son of only one kind here. I want you to take him, and I want you to take his life." Abraham knew all those promises. Knew that through him the seed would come. That meant it had to come through Isaac. He knew that through him a great nation would come. Have to come through Isaac. And now God says, "You take Isaac, and you take his life. You sacrifice him." Here we see Abraham's faith, because he did exactly what God told him to do. Back in Hebrews chapter 11, notice what the writer of Hebrews says. He said that Abraham concluded that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Everything was wrapped up in Isaac. God says, you take Isaac, you sacrifice him. I know he's your one-of-a-kind son, your unique son, but I want you to sacrifice him. This shows his unbelievable faith. Unbelievable faith. And of course, this was a symbol of what God was going to do through Christ, wasn't it? This was a symbol. Isaac was going to be sacrificed. But Abraham knew, because he trusted God completely, totally, that in some manner, God was still going to fulfill his promises. See, that's what Abraham knew. Abraham did not know or understand how God was going to fulfill all those promises. He believed God would do it. He didn't know how he would do it, but he believed God would do it. So even though he asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, Abraham still knew God would fulfill his promises. That's how much he trusted him. And so he was willing to sacrifice at all cost, because he knew God would do exactly what he said. He trusted God. In the New Testament, 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, a few pages on over from your Bible, has a very similar verse. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. What did Christ do? He laid down his life for us. Back in Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Paul writes this. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time, meaning at the right time, at the perfect time, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. It was a symbol of what Christ was going to do for us. God was teaching both Abraham and us that we have to trust Him completely. God is not going to take second best. He's not going to take a divided loyalty. So when He was testing Abraham, He was testing his loyalty. Was Abraham's loyalty going to be divided between God and his son? Or was Abraham's loyalty going to be completely to God? See, that was the test. God still says to us today, we cannot have a divided loyalty. We can't be 50% loyal to God, or 25% loyal to our job, or 15% loyal to our family. God says it's all or nothing. That's what He was telling Abraham. It's all or nothing. If you want to inherit the promises, it's all or nothing. You choose, Abraham. Because Abraham trusted God completely, there wasn't this time that he needed to argue with God or say, you know, try and get God to tone down what he wanted him to do. Nope. He trusted God completely. And that's what faith is about, is trust. He had all these promises, but he knew God would fulfill them. He didn't know how he would fulfill them, but he knew he would. So he trusted God. In James chapter 2, we're told about this type of faith. James chapter 2 will begin in verse 21. James chapter 2, beginning in verse 21. This, remember, is the great chapter about faith and works, or faith and obedience. James chapter 2, verse 21 says this, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then," here's the result, James says, "that a man is justified by works and not by faith only." Now let's apply that to Abraham. What does it have to do with Abraham? What would have happened if God would have told Abraham, "Abraham, I want you to take your only son, your one-of-a-kind, unique son, Isaac, and I want you to take him for 3 days." That was a 3 days journey. So he was thinking about that for 3 days. At the end of that 3 days, he was to sacrifice his son. So God says, "I want you to do this. I want you to make an altar. I want you to sacrifice your son." Abraham's faith was not a type of faith that said, "Well, I believe God and your promises, but I don't believe to the extent that I'm really going to do that. That's not necessary for me to do that. I think it's okay. I think you'll reward me for just believing in your promises." That's not what happened. It says Abraham's faith was justified by works when he obeyed. That's how he was considered justified. He wasn't justified when he was staying back with Isaac. He wasn't considered justified until he obeyed God. That's the kind of faith he had, was a faith that obeyed. It wasn't a faith that just trusted God in some sort of mental way and stopped. It wasn't it at all. His faith was the extreme type of faith that the Bible says we have to have, the ultimate type of faith. Faith that would sacrifice what he held most dearly. And God says, that's the kind of faith you and I have to have. We have to be willing to give up whatever is most valuable to us. And I'll tell you right now, I don't think most people have that kind of faith. That's willing to give up what's valuable to them. They consider many things more valuable, so they're not willing to give them up. They'll give up some things, but not like Abraham. Abraham said, "I'll give up what costs the most." That's what God says about us. We have to be willing to give up what's the most valuable to us. We have to be willing to sacrifice. Otherwise, there's not going to be any deliverance, no reward, nothing. That's what Abraham teaches us. That's what his faith was all about. That just simply shows how much Abraham loved God. In John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus says this. John chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus says, verse 24, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." What was Abraham's reward? We read there in Genesis chapter 2 right, what the reward was. He was ready, had the knife in hand, ready to kill his son, and then what? Stop, Abraham. God knows. Did God not know up until that time what was going to happen? Sure, God knew. Abraham was the one that was being tested. It wasn't God. So what was the reward? Isaac was delivered. And instead of Isaac, what was found over in a thicket, caught by its horns, a ram. So Abraham took it, used it instead of his son. And that ram was sacrificed there in Genesis chapter 22. That was his reward. In Romans chapter 4, Paul uses Abraham As an example, Romans chapter 4, verse 17 and following says this. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Actually, verse 16 is where it starts. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead, and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. That's what Abraham did. He believed God and trusted God and followed God. Whatever God told him to do, he did it, whether he understood it completely or not. His reward was God spared what Abraham held most dearly. We must have that kind of faith. We must be willing to give up things of this world that we value. Family. We must be willing to give up family for God. We must be willing to give up friends for God. We must be willing to give up material things for God. We must be willing to give up power and authority on earth for God. We must be willing to give up all of those things for God. God does not accept divided loyalty. It's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. And that's what he says, and that's what Abraham tells us from the grave. It's all or nothing. Your faith must trust God to the extent that you know God will raise the dead. That's what Abraham knew. Even if Isaac was sacrificed, God had the power to bring him back to life. Abraham had never seen anybody brought back to life. It wasn't based on experience, but it was based on trust. It was based upon faith in God that he could do the impossible. That was the kind of faith Abraham had. That's the kind of faith we have to have. In John chapter 6, verse 40, Jesus says this to us. John chapter 6, verse 40. Jesus says, and this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's what we have to believe. We have to believe that there is going to be a resurrection. We have to believe what Jesus said in John chapter 5. That at his voice all who are in the graves shall come forth and do what? Well, some shall go into everlasting life and some into everlasting condemnation. But they'll all hear his voice and come forth. There's going to be a general resurrection of the dead. And if we don't believe, don't trust God and have that faith, then we will not have eternal life. That's what he says. We must have the faith of Abraham. And so this morning, what kind of faith do you have? Is it a divided loyalty? Are you teetering back and forth? You don't know who to follow. God says, follow me. He wants total commitment. He wants you to believe in his Son and have everlasting life. He wants you to trust in his promises, to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. He wants you to trust in that promise, believe that, obey that. That's what he wants. And if that's the kind of faith you have, we encourage you to come as David leads us in this song. Let us stand, please.